The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garum Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now, Garum Perro has always believed that a name change can usually be taken as a sure sign that a company is on the march. That's particularly so when the name change is matched to a recapitalisation and a management rejuvenation. The trick, though, is that the underlying project has to have the makings of something special in a supportive commodities market. We've got all that today with today's podcast on Fosco, formerly Celanent. Fosco trades under the code PHO, or Papa Hotel Oscar. It last traded at 14 cents for a market cap of about 33 million. It's an interesting story based on the Chaketma phosphate rock project in Tunisia. To bring us up to speed with all that and what is behind the booming market for fertilizers of all descriptions, we have Taz Aldowd with us today, Executive Director of Fosco, which I will note has been on the march of late in share price terms, and it's been pumping out some interesting news around the project. Hi, Taz. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Barry. It's great to be with you, and thanks for that wonderful introduction.
Now, Taz, the project is well known to the market, and there is some history around ownership. I don't think we need to go back over that in time because we are talking about a new-look company here. But give us a snapshot of where things are now.
That's spot on, Barry, and happy to. As a snapshot, there's probably three things that investors need to know, and that is that there was a colourful history, but the company, in terms of project ownership, is in the best position it's been for a long while. We've had a 50.99% interest in the Chaketma Phosphate project restored. Fosco controls the JV, and we see a pathway now to 100% project ownership via seizure because the partner owes $5 million US, and that remains outstanding.
Okay, Taz, the phosphate market looking very interesting, like all fertilizers are, as the world frets about the need to feed the world. Tell us a bit more about just where the phosphate market's at.
The need to feed. Look, one of my favourite things to do lately is check the phosphate price because every time we're looking at the moment, the price is higher. What's incredible is that 90% of the world's phosphate comes from just five countries, and supply disruptions are not out of the norm when you look at the countries that we're talking about. The US has imposed an import tariff on Moroccan and Russian phosphate. Morocco has a majority of its reserves in disputed territory in Western Sahara. The EU and the US have declared phosphate a critical commodity. And that's quite important for listeners to know, is that phosphate is not optional. It's critical. You know, it's essential to the agricultural industry. And China has followed suit. They've banned exports, taking out a third of the global phosphate trade. And you can see that the price was already beginning to respond to that. In fact, it went up by nearly 100% before the war then began in Ukraine. And that has tightened things up considerably again. So the trend is definitely up for phosphate, and it's a good time to be advancing this project.
So it would be fair to say it's 10, 12-year highs at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. It's just a past 10-year highs, and we're expecting, according to CRU, who are the gurus in the area, that the price will be recalibrated early next week to show a further increase again. So, yeah, 10-year highs at the moment. And to think that, you know, there's other applications that are also making their way onto the scenes. They're using phosphate now in lithium-ion phosphate batteries. So this additional demand on an already tight market, watching that dynamic unfold will be interesting also.
Yeah, just on the batteries, that's the LFPs, which China's big on because of the cost of nickel and cobalt.
Absolutely.
They don't get the Ks that the nickel NMC batteries get, but it makes cars more affordable, adding to the EV story.
Yeah, that's right. I don't think we'll see nickel and cobalt go away, but there's definitely some benefits to LFP batteries, which is bringing them to the forefront. They're low cost, they're effective, they're safe, and the toxicity is low. They're reliable. They've got well-defined performance parameters and a good potential replacement for lead-acid batteries.
The picture you paint of it around the phosphate market is actually quite concerning, isn't it?
It is. It is because, you know, if you look at the things that are driving this tightening, they're not things that can be resolved quite quickly. And so the effects on price, but also all the way down to food prices will be long-lasting. So, I think a lot of people are concerned about it, but investors, it's probably bittersweet for investors because, you know, you'll be paying more for food and for dinner and agricultural side of things. You know, they're going to be paying more on cost inputs, but then on the investment side, there's obviously a lot of upside for investors.
Now, the project, Jequitmar, 210 kilometres southwest of Tunis. There's been some resource growth there recently and some interesting network. Could you tell us about those?
So this morning, Fosco announced excellent metallurgical results from pilot plant testing, and it showed that the ore from the flagship Jequitmar phosphate project can be upgraded to 30% P2O5 with recovery greater than or equal to 80%. So these results are excellent. They're exciting. And what it means for us is that we can potentially produce a commercial grade concentrate capable of conversion to a higher value product being MAP or DAP. And that would just be using conventional methods and reagents. And there's upside again, because if you read further in the announcement, that was using a head grade of just under 23%. And what we announced from the Cal upgrade work recently out of that deposit is that there's a high grade zone that makes up about 60% of the deposit, and that sits at a higher grade than the head grade used in the results today. So there's upside there which needs to be explored and looked at.
If you can take it to 30% phosphate pentoxide, or whatever it's called, I'm just wondering, you compare that to some of the major producers around the world. I'm pretty sure Phosphate Hill here in Australia, which only supplies about half our market, I think that's in the low 20s. So you're right up there in terms of grades.
Yeah, right up there. And absolutely. And that's something that we're very excited about. And the long-term vision for the company, you know, stage one, we would want to produce rock phosphate and go to a concentrate, and then stage two, liquid fertilizers. And that's where we see this going.
As things are moving along now, what needs to be done to make it a serious development project in terms of timing, scale?
Yeah, sure thing. Well, to start off with that last point there, scale, this project is already large. You know, it's 148 million tonnes. If you look at that high-grade, shallow Cal deposit alone, that's 55.5 million tonnes there, relatively close to surface. And that's from drilling at only half of that prospect. And you've got to remember there's six prospects here. So in terms of scale, we're covered. And that 55 million tonnes is enough for potentially 30 years mine life. So the scale box is well and truly ticked. The next stage really is about understanding the deposit more and upgrading the resource. So we've done that at Cal, and that resource is completely measured and indicated. And the review is underway for the neighbouring GK prospect. That's 93 million tonnes from about 10 holes, and that'll incorporate 21 holes in the review to bring that up, hopefully in confidence, like we did with Cal. The same methodologies will be used. So there's resource work. And the other thing that's going on, and the reason the announcement came out today, is because there's a mammoth task ahead of digesting all this technical work that's been done on the project during the hiatus. And that will be completed next quarter. And that will really define how we take the project forward. It'll lead into an option study, which will lead into a PFS and a BFS. And because a lot of that technical work has been done, we're hopeful that it'll allow us to fast track a lot of the feasibility studies.
Right. Okay. Now, I think it's important, given the market and the geopolitics around the market, Tunisia. What's it like as a place to invest fiscally and on the regulation side of things? And they were part of the Arab Spring way back. Are things settled down there now? Good place to be investing?
Absolutely. So Tunisia, for those who don't know, It's the northernmost country in Africa. It abuts the Mediterranean Sea, plenty of ports, and it's a wonderful place to do business. Geographically, it's very close to Europe, so it's on Europe's doorstep. The native tongue there is Arabic, very pro-democracy, and you're spot on. That was the birthplace of the Arab Spring. And they also very commonly speak French and English as a second language. So politically, the country is led by a guy called Kais Saied, and he's pro-foreign investment and really on a mission at the moment to also do away with any bad guys that are giving the country a bad rep, which is great for us, great for foreign investors and Western investment, and anyone else who wants to do business the right way, which we are. Wherever you operate in the world, political risk is a real risk. You know, you just have to ask Rio Tinto about that in Serbia and some of the other stories elsewhere. But really, Tunisia is a country, and if you go there and meet the people there, engage with government as we are doing, it's a wonderful place to do business, and it's a reason why we've stuck by this project and look forward to taking it further.
It does have a mining industry. I think Glencore and a few others are there, aren't they?
That's right. Yeah, Glencore, Shell, BP. Yeah, a lot of tier one resource companies globally are active in country.
Now, the location 210K southwest, what's infrastructure like in that part of the world for the project?
Yeah, we've all come across resource projects, Barry, which, you know, might look fantastic on paper, but then they don't tick the logistical boxes. This is not one of those. You know, you could not ask for a better location in terms of logistics. We're 35 kilometres from the nearest railhead. There's access to ports. There's actually two ports. There's gas and grid power nearby. Not that we'll necessarily need them, because we're also going to be looking at some green pathways in terms of how to develop this project, you know, with ESG front of mind. So in terms of logistics, in terms of project location, we're very happy with where it sits. And as I said before, Tunisia itself, once you get to the port, you're right on Europe's doorstep, and they're screaming out for product at the moment because of everything that's going on.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about your shareholder base. I see you've got Lion Selection, and Robin Widdup, the chairman there, is also chairman of the company. So you've got a pretty star-studded register for a company.
Barry, we're lucky to have a board with deep industry experience who've done this before, and not just in Africa, but all sorts of challenging places. You're spot on naming Robin there and the Lion guys. Lion Selection is an ASX-listed fund, and they're our largest shareholder and an active investor at that. They own 15%. We also have another fund on the register called Polo. They own 11%, and Retsos Holdings owns 13% there. Board and management, not only do we have experience, but we've got tons of skin in the game, and collectively we own 14%. So we're in a good position in terms of ability, in terms of experience, but also backing ourselves here, as you can see by the register.
And Lion Selection, being a patient investor, they've been on the register for quite some time, I take it?
They sure have, yeah.
So they believe in the project, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they've just come in again to maintain their holding on the back of another raise that was done at the end of last year. So they're very supportive of their position and are backing this to the end.
I was just going to ask about the cash position. You did have that raise, so that keeps things ticking along for the foreseeable future?
Absolutely, certainly until we commence the BFS. So we are in a good position and well-funded for the next phase of work.
And just we mentioned the hiatus in around the ownership of the project there for a few years. I'm just wondering, have you completed your team building on the ground, as it were, in Tunisia?
Yeah, good question. The team building has well and truly commenced, and it's underway. We've got Donald Thompson, who's the country manager. He moved to Tunisia late last year, around Christmas time, in fact, and he's been building the team up. We've got geologists in country, and that team, as well as a technical team, is not only built, but it will get bigger to take this project forward through the next phase.
Well, Itas, interesting story, that's for sure. So I'm just hoping you could bring it all together for investors now and give them a feel for 2022, what they should be looking out for.
Yes, well, we control an asset which contains 148.5 million tonnes of phosphate at over 20%. with significant exploration upside. It's close to key infrastructure. North Africa contains 70% of the world's phosphate reserves, and Fosco is the only ASX-listed company that owns a phosphate asset in North Africa and conveniently located on Europe's doorsteps. We have a well-credentialed team with deep experience and skin in the game who are working flat out to deliver more news, so watch this space. And at the moment, we have a resource review which is underway and anticipated shortly for the GK resource. We have technical studies which are progressing as a part of a gap analysis, and we look forward to delivering the outcomes of that news, and that will set the path forward for BFS work and taking this project forward against a backdrop of record high fertilizer prices. It's a great time to be involved in the company.
Okay, there you go, folks. An interesting one there, a potentially world-class project that's been on the back burner for a few years, now being brought out just as the fertilizer market across the board has taken off. So with that, Taz, thanks for your time today, and we'll be watching with interest.
Thanks, Barry. Great to be with you.